Around the birth of Jesus, the Lord does at least 11 or 12 recorded miracles in the Bible. That is, the miracles are surrounding His birth. And that's a pretty good number. The more I looked at the passages, the more miracles I found. And we're going to focus in on that a little bit. If you're a believer in the Lord, you love miracles. And God calls us to love the giver of miracles more than we love miracles. Okay, so miracles very, very prevalent in the Bible. God, very, 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 very prevalent in the Bible. So we want to have the miracles point to the Lord and have Him change our life. Actually, we would have to say He's a bigger deal than miracles. Much more so. Okay? Because the miracle is life-changing, full of compassion, and very helpful for the person who receives a miracle. However, God blesses for all eternity. For all eternity. So, to honor the giver of miracles by looking at miracles in and around the Christmas story, and just share some things that I've seen as miracles and miracles that I pray for. Okay, and around Christmas, we'd like the Lord to intervene in extraordinary ways. We spoke about miracles Wednesday night Bible study and came up with about seven or eight kinds of miracles that you see in everyday life. And before we say that, there are very, very good Christian teachers who say there are no miracles for today. So we want to acknowledge that. R.C. Sproul comes to mind. He feels that God does great things, but he teaches there's no real miracles today because miracles were always connected in the Bible to showing who Jesus was and different revelation. And since that's kind of settled, he says there's really no miracles today. It's great to disagree with him about that. The Bible seems to point to miracles launching out into the future as opposed to being closed, you know, at about 30 or 40 A.D. there. So these are the miracles we talked about Wednesday. Intervention for protection miracles. Okay, a tornado comes through the area, wipes out 100 homes. Pretty much no injuries. You'd have to say that's an intervention for protection miracle. God did that in the Scripture at different occasions. They're healing miracles. The doctor says, you won't make it till Christmas, and 20 years later, you're still living by His sustaining grace. Okay, conversion miracles. Those are the biggest, and for all time. When a person receives Christ, Jesus said they are born from above. All of us have been born from just creation, activity, and so on. But being born from above, that's a miracle when somebody receives the Lord. And then there's provision miracles. A person needs $430 to pay their rent. They don't know where they're going to get it. Maybe they're unemployed, maybe no savings. They say, Lord, would you help somehow provide this? And God provides $430, provision miracles. There's political and warfare miracles. Okay, Israel becomes a nation in the 1940s. That's something only the Lord can bring about, a fulfillment of prophecy. In my lifetime, I remember thinking the Berlin Wall coming down was a miracle. Nobody would have guessed that 10 years before. Nobody would have guessed that 5 years before, or maybe even 2 years before. And the result of some unrest in Poland, and actually some Christian leaders getting in churches and praying for God's help and so on. And next thing you know, you see these people climbing up on the wall and knocking it over, and you think, whew. You know, and they were leaders talking through that, of course. But warfare miracles. Actually, the different wars that Israel's been in since it's been established, a lot of people would call them divine interventions in those conflicts. And then creation miracles. I like these a lot. They are considered more daily, but they are very, very important. And people don't
accomplish these on their own. These are creation miracles. A child's birth, a bone healed. Yesterday you breathed about 23,000 times. That wasn't from your effort. Okay? You didn't produce that ability to do that. God gave you that ability. It was beyond human effort. It wasn't automatic. Each breath a gift from God. The breath of life is sacred. Acts 17. God gives life and breath to all men. It's a creation miracle. We have life. In our bodies, approximately 100, we'll have to check with the medical community on this, approximately 100,000 miles of blood vessels. Whew! Okay? Somebody wanted to take time and just say, let's see what's going on in your body. I'd wrap it around the earth four times. How God puts the miracle of life in us. Don't take it for granted. And certainly don't take credit for it. Or you live like an atheist there. So, the miracle of God in different ways. Albert Einstein said, you can pretend nothing is a miracle, or you can see miracles everywhere in everything. And he even had doubts about God, but he just was blown away by life itself and knowledge as such. And Jesus' earthly ministry is filled with miracles. I don't have my clicker, so could you do the clicking when I do that, Jim? Thank you. In Scripture, about 45 recorded miracles in the Gospels. Jesus does about 36 of them. There are other ones where angels come and, you know, do things and give messages. So that's a lot of miracles in the lifetime of Jesus, particularly a three-year time period, especially. So his life was to point to the greatness of God in the compassion he showed in giving miracles and doing them. And next one, Jim, just a definition of a miracle from an old Bible teacher. A humanly impossible event, apart from natural cause, done by God for His glory. Done by God for His glory. Miracles defy human explanation. Okay. If you talk to great scientists, they'll say, we don't understand a lot about the human body. We don't understand. For example, the medical community does not understand why an aspirin works, but they know it works. Okay. When God does something extraordinary, defies human explanation, it's not just a natural cause, it's done by God, and people get a sense of there must be a God. God is good. He intervenes. He does things. And often we ask God, want to speak about this later, but we ask God for miracles of intervention and help, and He doesn't do them. But He still loves us at the moment. And He still draws close to us. And often when He doesn't do them, He points us to eternity, which is the miracle of spending forever with Christ. So, I mean, that's a miracle. We're going to have to take that miracle as along with Jesus number one. Okay, that He said He would go and prepare a place for us. And He would come back and take us to be with Him. So we thank God for that miracle. And miracles help us remember people are people with limitations, but God is God and there is nothing impossible for Him. So we see that at Christmas time. And we'll just leave that on the screen for a minute. Here's the Christmas miracles that I saw, and anybody could look for in the Bible here. An angel appears to Zechariah and letting him know that John the Baptist is going to be born to Elizabeth. Now, both of them are up in age and nobody thinks that's going to happen. But God gives them the message. So that particular miracle of the angel and John being able to be conceived was preparation for Jesus. So here you have something that R.C. Sproul would say amen to. Here's a miracle pointing us to Jesus. And that's what miracles do. They point us to Jesus. Get prepared. Get ready. God does a miracle. It's not just so you can feel good for 20 years and write a book, but point people to Christ. The second one, Zechariah becomes silent. It's a miracle of correction, you might say, because he didn't believe the message, and so God said, okay, then be quiet. That's a good message for us. If we're not believing God, we should be quiet. Let's have the benediction now. Okay, next one. Angel appears to Mary. Mary, the Lord is with you. The Son of God will be born to you. This is unbelievable, the incarnation of Christ. And God becoming a human being. It's a great act of humility, and the rescue mission begins to be on the planet Earth. Number four, the angel appears to Joseph. Joseph, don't reject Mary. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Similar thing occurred to any guy who has ever been married. An angel came and said, don't be afraid to ask this lady to marry you. That's a little smile there. The women understand that. The guys still. But anyway, Joseph needed that, so he would go ahead and marry Mary. Because he could have sent her away. He could have had her stoned. Oh, that's not my baby. You're going to have to die. But the angel appears to Joseph, and he believes. And then next miracle, Zechariah is healed. He could speak again. The fantastic miracle. Angels appear to the shepherds. And that was unreal. Then they would go see the Messiah. You know, Jesus born in a pretty rough situation, perhaps among near animals and dirt and unsanitary conditions. No nurse, no doctor. Angel said, go. And they made haste. And the angel appears to Joseph a second time. Go hide in Egypt. This is a protection miracle again. The Lord gives the star to direct the wise men. It's another miracle. Okay, we're coming. There's only a few more. An angel appears to Joseph a third time. I don't know what it was about Joseph. He needs all these angels to come to him to get him rolling. But this is, happens. An angel appears to Joseph a third time. Herod is dead. You can go back to Israel. And then Joseph needs one more direction. He has a dream. Go to Galilee and settle down in Nazareth. Because this is going to fulfill the Bible. He shall be called a Nazarene. And besides that, Herod's son is king, and he's a little bit crazy also. So stay away from Jerusalem, the capital there. And then, of course, the biggest miracle, Jesus conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. Can't be explained, defies human explanation, a gift and work of God. So we see the Lord doing great things. And we would say, Lord, could we see you at work nowadays, not because we're interested in pizzazz or, you know, like to make a big show about this, that, and the other, but because, number one, people were hurting very much, and number two, we want you to be honored and glorified. And these miracles honor Jesus. So as God does interventions and common everyday creation miracles, they do honor Him. If we stop to say, oh, this is from God, this is not just how the world works. Since God's the same yesterday, today, and forever, Jesus, that is, I think the Lord does as many miracles today as He did in A.D. 1. But often we don't give Him the credit. There are daily miracles we ignore, and sometimes extraordinary ones. And God works miracles because He's fully present in the moments and molecules of the universe. This is an important part of a change of mentality, I think, for you and I as believers. God is fully present in the moments and molecules of the universe. And one more switch on this one, Jim. God is always more prevalent than sin. Now, if you stop and think of that statement, that's a real life changer in terms of how we approach, you know, our 80 or 90 years on earth here. God is always more prevalent than sin.
Therefore, you and I have the opportunity to see Him at work more than we see the rebellion, which is real, the sin, which is terrible, the human heart being deceptive above all things and the need there. But if you're a Christian, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And so who God is in your soul is bigger than the sin you're going to have. And Paul said this in Romans 5. He said, where sin abounded, sure, sin's very prevalent. Sin abounds. It abounds in your home. It abounds in your heart. It abounds in your church. And it really abounds out there in the world. Sin abounds. But Paul said, where sin abounds, grace abounds all the more. All the more. So, God is going to do more things than to honor Himself than the bad things that are happening out there. Okay, so God is always more prevalent than sin. And to ask God that we notice Him more than we notice sin. In fact, in the Bible, most people who notice God greatly, they certainly become aware of sin, but they are not crushed by it. They are delivered from it. You think of Isaiah. He sees God as holy. He says, woe is me. But then his guilt is removed, and he said, okay, I'll do whatever God wants. I'll be sent wherever. You can even ask me to preach to the wall and get no response. I'm good with that. In fact, that's what God had him do, if you ever feel like you're called to that ministry. But God is always more prevalent than sin, so we can expect Him to be working above and beyond what we think or ask or imagine. You, as one old hymn says, speaking to all of us, you dwellers in darkness with sin-blinded eyes. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk around saying, oh, where's God? I don't understand. This world's totally terrible. Let's just destroy the whole thing because it's totally disgusting. How much more prevalent is God than sin? That's a good... You think just a little bit more prevalent? Yeah, it's a close call. Sin is this much in the world, but God, He's just a little bit greater than sin. That's not the way it is. Sin is real, and God reaches to the highest heaven. That's a much more prevalent He is than sin. And we could say, Lord, help us to get my sin-blinded eyes onto Jesus, who is the light of the world. And so, slide just to reinforce God's prevalence. And I don't have a clock up here, so if I go long, then I'll be quiet. God is always more prevalent than sin. Here's some scripture that shows the prevalence of God throughout His creation. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is full of His glory. That is prevalent. May the whole earth be filled with His glory. That's a prayer kind of confirming what God is. Next one, please, Jim. Paul preaching away to a bunch of pagans there. He says, God's not far from each one of us, for in Him we live and move and have our being. So how far is God from you and I? Not far. Even if we have doubts, we want to reject Him. Not far. If you know Him, His Holy Spirit lives within you. Give honor to God who fills everything in every way. And Jesus said, I am with you always. So to try to ask God without exaggerating the omnipresence of God, but is that possible? You think we could exaggerate God's prevalence? If anything, we're going to underestimate it, right? So, to know the prevalence of God, miracle-working God, God who loves, God who corrects, certainly in every moment and molecule in the universe. And I just want to share... Jim, all done with the slides. Thank you. Three miracles that I think I saw in life. Saw a lot more, but these ones I remember so well. Some you say, oh, they're pretty common, but they were a big deal to everybody involved when that happened. One was a gal named Pat, first church I was at,
Pat had severe lupus. And diagnosis, you know, prognosis was not good. And doctors began to say, you're just not going to get better. It's going to get worse. And then you're going to have to go. And your life will be over very soon. Got so bad that in and around October, I think it was, the doctor said to her, you won't make it till Christmas because your body's just shutting down in too many ways. You won't make it till Christmas. Okay, so Pat, she goes home. I mean, she's an average Christian. She does believe in the Lord. She trusts God. God, can you help me make it beyond Christmas and help me feel better? I don't even think she asked for, you know, much beyond that. Well, about 25 years later, Pat rolls on, okay? And the lupus doesn't just go away or anything, but God sustains her and doesn't allow that to end her life, which we would consider prematurely. So I think that was a miracle. I think that was a help of sustaining grace in her life. And again, as a Christian, I just want to say this. I get very sad and I get very disappointed when I do ask God to sustain somebody's life. And Lord, could you do a miracle? Just let them live until they're, you know, 70 maybe. How about 80? And God doesn't do that. I get very sad and disappointed, just to let you know. But I do trust God. Lord, you know better. And I don't go in a direction, and I don't think anybody should say, but, well, if we had enough people who had faith, they would have been okay. Or, you know, they didn't get healed because they didn't have enough faith. Or there wasn't a miracle because, you know, they used to yell at their wife too much. All that, I think, is a total waste of time and not of God. Because you can't really know why God doesn't ultimately help a person immediately or take them to be with himself. But anyway, that's miracle number one. Miracle number two was a conversion miracle based on somebody we knew. And it was a person who was very, very antagonistic to the Lord. And so people were trying to share, and it wasn't getting anywhere. And we thought, let's just stop. This person is never going to turn to Christ. We're just irritating them and irritating ourselves. So God sent somebody else to kind of plant seeds. And the person who was very, very against God, doubting God, and not believing hardly anything, turned to Christ and was saved genuinely and follows the Lord up to this day. And when that happened, some of the people who were praying for this individual said, okay, and they said it to me in particular, okay, you can die now because you've seen everything. And that wasn't to say this person was such a, you know, whatever. But they really thought that this was the biggest thing, I mean, to ever happen. And it really was a conversion miracle. And you and I would have to say, that's pretty much the story of us. If God could save us, how could he save somebody who was spiritually dead? That's virtually a Lazarus moment for each of our souls. And the third miracle, you might say, that's not a miracle. I think it was a miracle. When we had our petting zoo in March, it was one of the, you know, relationship with the community experiences, friendship, evangelism. Being in the spring, it was similar weather to today beforehand. Okay, it's rain. Forecast for Saturday morning, which we had the petting zoo. 80% to 90% chance of rain. Okay. So I'm thinking, I consulted the other folks. You think, well, how about if we cancel it? It's going to rain. It's going to be terrible. Nobody's going to want to be there, et cetera, et cetera. And they said, nah, let's wait. You know, let's just see what God does. I said that. They're unreasonable. But that petting zoo, no rain. No rain. I couldn't believe it. I was standing at the petting zoo, I'm looking around like,
every 10 minutes thinking, it's going to rain. They said 80-90% all morning. And there was no rain even until everybody left. We left and it started to rain. You might say, well, you think God's concerned about that? Yeah, I do. I think God's concerned about moments. After all, He fills every moment. He fills every molecule. And so God, who did miracles at Christmas, can do miracles for us. Would you pray for them? Would you? And in the midst of it all, if the miracle doesn't come, love God more anyway. Miracles that I ask for all the time, just to share with you. I ask for God to heal people that we have been praying for. And when no miracle comes again, I do deal with disappointment and sadness, but I also thank God for heaven. Heaven's greater than my disappointment. So, it's good to pray for people. You think, how should I pray for people who are ill? Pray for them to get better. Okay, unless they're 95 and they just want to go home. I ask God to heal people that we've been praying for. Another concrete prayer. Let's see what God does with this. Nationally, people have been praying for the release of Pastor Abedini from Iran. Okay. Terrible situation. He basically is like the Apostle Paul. I want to follow Jesus, and I'm not going to be intimidated by anybody, and so there he is in prison. Pray that God would open the door and get him released, which would be a miracle. Consider who we're dealing with, his captors. Next miracle that I would like to see, it has to start in my own soul, Christ-centered unity from church to church. Used to be churches really meshed well around Jesus and worshiped and prayed and did things, Thanksgiving services and Christmas services and all this other stuff used to happen. And there was a sense where Christ was the middle of all that. They just didn't get together just because it was church, No, you're a church, I'm a church, let's get together. Wasn't anything like that. It was definitely around Jesus. And for that to occur again, I think would be very, very honoring to the Lord and a blessing to a lot of people. Church to church unity. We're not talking about the Babylonian deception of Revelation. We're talking about the body of Christ. And then the last miracle that you and I could pray for, which God has done in history, so it's not like a pipe dream. Massive conversions to Him. Massive conversions to Him. Remember Nineveh? Terrible, sinful city. Jonah says, I don't even want them to get saved. They repent and turn to God. If God can do that in history, can He do that for, an area you're concerned about? Could He do it just one time before Jesus comes back again? The whole world redeeming. Pray for that. And in the midst of it all, remember, God's miracles point us to the greatness of God, who is far greater than the greatness of miracles. So if no miracles come, you and I still have a billion reasons to praise the Lord, because He's great. And we'll close in prayer now. Father, give miracles to each of our soul, something to do with our walk with You, maybe a physical help to somebody, providing miracle to somebody, protection miracle to somebody, some soldier serves in danger, they survive. Do great things, Lord, and help us to remember You're a great God. In Your name we pray. Amen.